President's Press Conference, September 27, 1951.
Please be seated. I have no statements for release, but I'll try my best to answer questions, if you have any.
Can you give us any background on the mission of General Bradley and Chip Bowen in the Far East?
They're going out for an interview with General Ridgway. It's a customary procedure which has been followed right along. That's about all I can say about it.
Mr. President, a while ago in the House, Mr. Leo Allen of Illinois gave as one of the principal reasons in opposition to the Fogarty Resolution on the Unification of Ireland that he and the other members of the House had not been told what your views were on the matter, and he said they didn't think they should pass a resolution like that, and they said what your views were. What did you care to say?
I have no views on it.
Mr. President, when you sent up your message this morning about the public statements on outside income of federal employees, it produced a rather varied reaction in the Senate. Senator Capehart said he'd support you, but Senator Milliken said it was too degrading to even be before the Senate. What do you think of Senator Milliken's position on that?
Well, now, that's his opinion, and he's entitled to his opinion the same as I'm entitled to mine, and my opinion is expressed in the message. I have no comment on it. Have no comment on either question.
Mr. President, are you hopeful of a peaceful solution to the Iranian difficulty?
Yes, I am. I'm always hoping for peace everywhere in the world. Sometimes that hope never comes to fruition, but I still hope for it.
Mr. President, are you going to name Joe Duke, the Sergeant-at-Arms of the Senate for the International Boundary and Water Commission?
Not that I know of.
Mr. President, did you tell the President that Mr. Potosky did it this morning?
He comes to see me whenever he feels like it. I think he's one of the ablest of the labor leaders. He came in to talk over various things with me, particularly the unemployment and the garment workers, among the unemployment that now exists among the garment workers. I've been trying to hurry that along for 6 years, May, and your senators and representatives are not very enthusiastic about it. That's one of the reasons I haven't been able to get it. Mrs. Smith's for it, but I don't know if anybody else up in that neck of the woods is for it.
Well, sir, I understood that they had asked you in June whether they should try to get the money, and you asked them to refrain until you had got the result of the government survey you made this summer.
That's correct, and that survey is not finished. And that it also has some connection with the St. Lawrence Seaway. The power pool in that part of the country will be made up, if we get it, of the St. Lawrence Seaway and the Bay of Fundy project.
Are there any plans for Mr. Callahan to return to Tehran in the near future?
No.
Mr. President.
There have been several collections of internal revenue are under investigation, and I've been asked to ask you whether you're considering suggesting that these jobs be taken out of the appointed field and be put under civil service.
I hadn't that under consideration, Smitty, at all.
Never.
Had not.
President, the conference committees of the two houses completed work today on the foreign aid military economic bill, calling for a new director to handle the new agency appointed by you. Have you decided on whether Mr. Harriman will be the man for this?
The bill hasn't reached me, Tony, and until I make a survey of it, I can't give you any answer on its administration.
Plus, I remember you told a previous conference you weren't concerned so much with the operations as with the money that was needed.
That's right.
But you haven't decided on who will fill the
job. No, I haven't decided yet. So.
Mr. President, on the Internal Revenue Directory, I think it has been practiced for a long time. One far less political than the postmaster, but in any case, I wondered if you were telling me a little bit as far as the career of man in that field, such as Mr. Dunlap.
Your best answer to that is that I've appointed more career men in all the fields than any other president. I've got two career men in my cabinet.
I wonder if you could find a particular part of that to.
No, not at all. When a man's able to fill the bill and has had experience in those offices, it's always best to appoint.
Do you regard yourself as a career man?
Yes, I've been in elective office for 30 years. I think that's a pretty good career. Will be 30 years at the end of my present term. I know that's not what he meant, but he got the answer.
Mr. President, have you changed your opinion in any way on Mr. Boyle as a result of the...
No, I haven't.
Today?
No, I can't. He wanted to know if I could say anything about the exchanges between the British Prime Minister and myself on Iran, and I said I couldn't make any comment on it. None that I know of. What's the matter with you? You ought to soak?
You are seeing the Canadian Prime Minister tomorrow.
Yes, on the St. Lawrence Seaway project.
The other thing I want to ask you about, the Atomic Energy Commission has complained today to some of the labor unions about strikes at a couple of atomic energy plants that they afraid might hurt the defense effort. I wondered if that had been brought to your attention.
No, it has not. Probably will be, though, Tony, before it's finished. Well, I think they were very well summarized in the communicated, which was issued by the two of us. I think that answers your question. What's the matter, Smith?
Well, not a thing.
All right. Yes, it's a very good reason, because we want to get them both constructed. Yes, but I'm not for it. I never have been in favor of taking them apart for the very simple reason that I don't want to see one constructed without the other. I'd like to see them both constructed.
Thank you, Mr.
President. So, right, Smith.